baby. All right. We're taking a free ride, Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I'm David Lee. My sister Lisa Roth is here. Lise.
Yes, David.
Are you a bicycle rider?
You know I am.
You just had a question for our very special guests, Andrew Lynn and Elizabeth Press. They're up here. They are the documentists, the filmmakers who made the documentary on the critical mass bicycle ride in New York City. And this is the group of cyclists who collect at the end of each month and make a rally. It's not really a parade, although some people claim that it may well be, or at least it has the impact of. But it's a lot of folks like myself gathering together because it's a great way to see the city. Seeing the city through a window is very different, whether it's in an automobile or from the aircraft or even the subway. Seeing it from a bicycle is the only way to go. I don't even own a car here. And there's a lot of political issues here. People are getting arrested for doing this. And still, it's something that I think New York City should probably be supporting the most. Lise, you had a question. Go ahead.
Oh, you mean about the wardrobe? Yes. Okay, wait a minute. If you don't want to answer that one, I do have a few very important questions. But
right,
I wanted to say, did you know that there is a bicycle film festival?
No, what is that?
It's a bicycle film festival. It travels through the U.S. and it will be back here in May. And I believe there's a website, right?
There is a website. You can check out more information at the bicyclefilmfestival.com. And our good friend Brent Barber actually is the director of the festival and is one of the co-producers on our documentary, Still We Ride. And the film premiered there in May and sold out two shows at Anthology Film Archives, like 300 people. 2, 7, and 9.
What shows up at a bicycle film festival? Is that movies like Breaking Away or The Red Bicycle, or is that seriously?
Yeah, there's. I mean, he curates in like sort of all old bicycle films, but then it's a lot of submissions from, you know, emerging filmmakers and amateur filmmakers and professional documentarians who are making bicycle related films, and the idea is to promote bicycle culture, like we're talking about here. Through cultural means that's like, you know, has an identity that's different from, you know, actually riding a bike. But
when I started off riding a bike, it was a Schwinn with a Schwinn bike pack, and that's all you had in front of you.
Yeah,
but now it's every community that there is. You've got lowrider bikes out in Mexifornia, where I come from. You've got mountain bikes, which is the great outdoors. Hey, the sky should know me by now. You've got cruisers for guys like me, low, slow, and under the radar, sightseeing, and on. You've got bicycle messengers for high-speed, low drag. So there's a lot of different communities in bicycle riding now.
And if you come out on critical mass, I mean, that's the beauty of critical mass, is all those communities who normally interact totally separately from one another come together because it's a space. And so you see all these different kinds of bikes. You see the low riders. You see the tall bikes with two frames built, you know, welded together, one on top of the other. You see the mountain bikes, the downhill bikes. You see the messengers come out. You see the businessman commuters. So it's like this beautiful place where it all comes together.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, you obviously don't want to address the wardrobe subject. So let's get down to what really matters.
What do you
here.
Want to know about the wardrobe?
Okay, I'm going to pass and move on to something more important.
Okay, that's what I prefer.
This is obviously a serious conversation. What about bicycle romances that have stemmed from this? Weddings? Children?
She's serious. This is now
there must be a few.
Now that would be a documentary.
Oh, that's totally a reality series, right?
Yeah.
A reality series. That's a great idea.
Completely.
Nothing like that would bring attention to this.
Maybe someone's working on it already.
It would be a reality series, but nobody in any reality series I've seen has enough athletic ability to actually command a bicycle for any real length of time. Chris from Boston, he says bike messengers, they have a view. Roth Radio, we're talking to you. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, man, what's up?
Swinging.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm a bike messenger in Boston, and there's a lot of us. And I think many of us feel that critical mass isn't doing any bikers any favors.
Why is that?
We like the message of advocacy and making it safe for everybody. But, you know, these guys get out there. They're taking up more than one lane, which is against the law. They're blasting through lights, which is against the law. They're just making people very angry. Everybody's getting arrested. And in general, they're getting in our way, at night.
Hold on, Lise. So, you have a thought. I can see it on the front of your skull.
I can't get away with anything here.
Go ahead.
No, I love the adversity. Us against them. That is human nature. And this just supports that.
I think it really does. And there's a pack mentality. It's a tribal mentality that if you have something that makes you feel good and healthy, you're going to be drawn to each other.
Yeah, and I've been behind the wheel of a car and infuriated with a bike rider, and I've been the bike rider. And I like
And I've been a bike messenger in Boston, so you know, we're on all sides here.
Maybe
and,
there's a
and I rode in critical mass when I was messengering in
There's
Boston,
obviously so. A political issue here. Would I be less likely to be arrested if I rode in a burqa and four times a day I bow to the Citicorp Bank? What do you think?
I don't know, but it's really interesting. the crackdown goes on.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
No, I think there's just like one side note to make as well, which the crackdown goes beyond just critical mass here in New York City. And there's a bill right now in the city council to ban pedicabs from Midtown, which would ban, if it would actually go through, would ban pedicab drivers. Which
from
has
30th Street to 65th Street.
Better to torture the horses, huh?
Better to torture the horses.
Yeah,
so it's
all sorts of issues.
You know, this all, it goes deeper than just once a month on critical mass. It goes into, you know, this issue eventually.
Mike from Cleveland says there's bigger issues. Get on that there, Hutch. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We're talking about Critical Mass, the great bike rally that has been going every month here in New York City for some time, and there are issues involved with it. Mike, what do you think? Go ahead.
What I think, I can't believe some of our court systems and everything are jammed up with, you know, bike riders. I think we should be more concerned about terrorism and cleaning up the drugs on the street instead of bikes. My son rides a bike. I used to ride a bike before all my surgeries, but I just can't get over that everybody's, you know, up, you know, all around about bikes being on the road.
I'm with you, especially in the when we have all of these issues about smoking in public and it's all of these health issues about the, from the EPA and what we're breathing, etc. The most probably athletically beneficial thing that you can do without feeling like you're doing anything beneficial, because I hate it when I feel like I'm doing something beneficial for myself. It's got to feel recreational.
Yeah, well, you're doing something beneficial for yourself, and all the people that are complaining about all the pollutants and everything in the air, they're the ones that are driving in the cars and making all the problems. I think that there's just too many more issues to clog up the courts than bike riding.
I'm going
to
agree with you.
Agree with you also, Mike.
Hallelujah.
Roth Radio, thanks so much. 866-313-3733. Lise?
Yes. Terrorism is something we should focus on. However, the way I ride a bike could be considered a terrorist act, to be honest.
All the more reason that you should be surrounded by like-minded people who actually possess cycling skills,
there
Lisa.
There you go.
Really, and you guys brought it up that it's a safer venture here. I ride all the time, especially now that I wake up at, dark 30 or whatever it is here, 4 in the morning, really. I own the city when I do that, but when I go home, there's an old saying, well, it's not an old saying, an old taxi driver, I think he was Pakistani, said to me once, he was very wise, he said, bike messengers, they search for death. And it's almost true. If you're riding by yourself here, the pedestrians are your number one difficulty, not your enemy. It's your own mom and your sisters who are stepping dazed and confused off of the corner without breakfast going, okay, I'll just walk it, boom, and run your bike into that. Or the automobiles. I've been knocked off of my bike twice in the last year. Lucky I wear a helmet. But if you're riding with a group of people, all the more evidence, all the more clear that everybody is there. And where better than New York City to have a little loosening of the reins here in honor of something that clearly supports Bloomberg's issues with smoking and so forth. And here's the lifestyle he'd like to see. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of websites that if people want to find out information about bike activity real quick, and then I'll let Elizabeth go. But at times-up.org, it's this environmental group that we were talking about before, and they put on all sorts of events. I mean, you know, Critical Mass is one of a zillion group bike rides that happens in the city, and you can get more information there. And transalt.org is Transportation Alternatives, and they work with the DOT and work with the city to try to do advocacy stuff. So if people want to learn more, go check
okay,
it
Sammy
out.
Says he go ahead, Liz.
No, you just mentioned Bloomberg, so I just wanted to follow up on Bloomberg for one split second here.
Go ahead.
And the World Car Free Network has started an international letter writing campaign to Mayor Bloomberg, trying to stop the arrest or free New York City cyclists. So there's a campaign to ask Bloomberg to step up and say something for the New York City cyclists.
Mayor Mike is a stellar character, okay? And for bad or worse, I support a lot of his health initiatives, okay? I myself smoke, but I believe in honor of the kids and the following generations that there's something needs to be done about that. He himself runs on the treadmill an hour a day. He himself is a helicopter pilot. He knows about traveling and enjoying this city from a multiplicity, hey, there's a $4 word, from a whole lot of different angles. He knows how to enjoy the city from the inside out, etc. Who better to understand something like this? And if it's not just freestyle, I'm not a proponent of anarchy, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to kind of figure out some sort of guidelines here, but I can't believe that New York City can't figure that out. What about in Florida? Chris, talk to me about what happens up there in Florida. You're on Roth Radio. Go.
Diamond Dave, what's going on?
Whoa.
A couple of things. The cops are for the bicycle riders, and sometimes they're against it. There's a couple of bicycle clubs where if you call up the police, they'll actually come down, shut down the streets, and let you ride for 2 miles. The pedestrians aren't in your way, and the cars and the trucks aren't in your way. Number two, downtown West Palm Beach, you will get pulled over on your bicycle if you cross the double yellow line.
Okay, so what is your theory? What's your working theory, Chris?
My bottom line is this. You know, we could sit here and talk till we're blue in the face. I'm for the bicycles.
I agree with you. I'm 100%. And I've seen issues, I've seen scenarios where, for example, down in Rio de Janeiro for the first 2 weeks leading up to Carnival, all the samba schools practice. And you know where they practice? Right in the middle of the intersection of the most busiest beaches in human history. Copacabana, Ipanema, these are famous names. And they set up 120 drummers literally in the middle of the intersection, and traffic gets blocked in all four directions for upwards of 2 hours. And you know what you do about it? You go get a beer. And everybody leaves their doors open in the cars or whatever. Okay, that's South America, but there's some element of that here, okay? There's some loosening of the reins, I think, that can be achieved, even if the cops don't set up the sawhorses, etc., because the cops themselves are all going to the gym. The cops themselves are all pumping iron. The cops themselves all have kids who ride on bicycles or something. Maybe an attorney can give us a call here and give us a reflection on that. 866-313-3733. Sammy says he rides with critical mass. Give us a little taste there. Sammy, you're on. No, he's gone?
Sammy's gone.
Sammy fell off his bike. How about Staten Island?
He should have been driving a car.
Go ahead, Steve. Calling in from Staten Island. You're on.
What's up, Dave?
Go ahead. What's on your mind, Steve?
Yours. I'm 41 years old, so I was right around that era. I've been a fireman for 10 years. I was a cop for 5 years before that.
Where are you a fireman, Steve? Where are you a fireman?
Brooklyn.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I was detailed in Manhattan about 2 years ago, and I've seen these guys riding all over the place for years, blocking up traffic. Sure enough, 2 years ago, we responded to an EMS call. I was on an engine that day, right?
Sure.
We're caught in traffic because these people had the street blocked up. We couldn't get to the call. We finally made it to the call. The person was expired, right?
And you're saying that you couldn't. And you're saying that you couldn't make it to the call because there was a conglomeration of cyclists?
Exactly.
Okay, and what happened?
Exactly. And now, I'm not saying that the person died because of that. They may have well been dead already prior to this. But we might have helped.
Okay.
I know you're an EMT. You should know that getting to a call, promptly is important.
Okay, go ahead and speak to that, Liz, if you would.
I don't know about this specific case, so it's really hard to comment on that in general. And it's really sad that someone did die indeed, but the thing with critical mass is it splits just like vehicles when there's an emergency vehicle that needs to go down the street. So to me, on one level, it's shocking that the critical mass ride held up.
I'm a bike rider myself. I love riding bikes, but
Safety for
hold on one sec. Go ahead, Liz.
No, safety for when there's an ambulance, when there's a fire truck, everyone is really considerate and moves to the side of the road, just like a vehicle traffic would.
How much does it take to get a parade permit for something like this? This is a city that has almost 500 parades each year. This is the most skilled blue team, whether it's police, fire, paramedic, whatever, at throwing a Puerto Rican Day parade, which dovetails into a Jewish Day parade, which turns into the Halloween parade. How come we can't get some kind of a permit that allows for this?
The thing is, it's like I said before, there's no real organizer of this ride, and the heart of what it is as a ritual is that there is no one that's stepping up. That's why it's a beautiful thing. When the ride starts, people don't know where the ride is going. And if you get to the front of the ride, you're going to have just as much decision-making power as the with the group of people in front and say, hey, let's turn right here, and that's where the ride's going to go. Once a permit comes into play, you know, it gives the city and the police specifically the power to determine you're going here, 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 and it is not critical mass anymore.
It becomes virtually a parade at that point in time.
Yeah, and critical mass was founded and sort of has grown into this tradition on principles of sort of
freedom
and non-hierarchy and sort of against not flowing with this idea of like there's a group of people or a couple structure. People who are structuring this parade or this ride.
This is an interesting question here, because at one point in time we thought that rock concerts should all be free as well. And when we started charging for them and constructing them with promoters and whatever, sure, the experience changed, but we didn't stop creating the concerts. I'm wondering now if critical mass is headed for a finite thing. You know how the government can work. You know how politics and the court systems work here. But there's always a will and a way in New York City. And I'm wondering if there's no proactive way to sit down with somebody and get the best of both worlds. Let's talk to Jim in Boston and see what he thinks. Number 12 there, Hutch. Roth Radio, Boston, you're on. Go.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Great, friend.
I just want to say I'm a bicycle commuter. I ride every day, weather permitting, here in the Northeast.
Outstanding.
Just want to plug the Boston Critical Mass Ride, which is the last Friday of every month at 5:30 p.m. at Copley Square. Now, we know that Boston's a pretty tough place to ride. The messengers, I believe, now have to be licensed because of the problems we have here. And I think, you know, with the oil problems coming up, world peak oil, that the American attitude towards cyclists is going to have to change. It is truly a alternative means of transportation, and for those that live out in suburbia that have to drive the 75 miles to get to work, they're just going to die when the oil prices hit $4.50 a gallon. So as a rider, I find it, first of all, wonderfully for the exercise, but the drivers have to start tolerating us a little bit more. It gets ridiculous when you get pushed off the road, as you know, and into snowbanks and whatever.
Are you familiar with the Sunday on Memorial Drive down in Boston, my friend, where all the bikers and the roller skaters and the joggers collect?
Oh, yeah, it's a ball.
Explain what that is, if you would.
Well, basically, we just get together, we ride, we have a lot of fun, and like critical mass, it's a zerocracy. Everybody, okay, where do you want to go these days? And we head off. We also do urban assault rides. I don't know if you've heard about those.
No, please explain. Go ahead.
Well, basically, we head out on our mountain bikes, and we basically tear up Boston, ride around the subway areas, sky off the stairs of the State House, through the Common and everything.
Okay, you're discussing a whole different level of participation
here. Level, but also with that, one must respect the rules of the road.
I think the rules of the road need to be relaxed, not so much to allow for anarchy as to accommodate what is the new. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that is actually a colleague of riding your car or riding your motorcycle to work. It is part of, just like riding the subway. It's not alternative. Has nothing to do with just one community. Thanks for calling Roth Radio. We're taking a bike ride. Maybe I'll join you guys tomorrow here.
That would be great.
My friends, talking to me about the Critical Mass Bike Ride, Andrew Lynn, Elizabeth Press. They've got a really, really great DVD here.
And you can check it out at stillweridethemovie.com.
And actually, there's groups like the World Car Free Network, like Time's Up, like ourselves, that if you email us, a lot of people have been organizing screenings of Still We Ride in their local communities and donating the funds to the Legal Defense of Cyclists in New York, because the fee is increasing daily in the amount of money that people need to spend to defend their rights to ride their
bikes.
And
like the guy who was talking about the courts, you know, being clogged up, unfortunately, that's the situation we're in, and people are facing criminal and charges here for really absurd reasons. And you can help by going to the bicycledefensefund.org.
And it certainly won't be the first time I sign autographs down at the 6th Precinct. If worse comes to worse, I think you're onto a really great idea. And I think there's a way around some of these foibles, you know, in terms of the law and what's happening. Not breaking the law, not creating anarchy, but establishing something that a whole lot more people like myself don't have such a damn hard time finding out about and have such a damn hard time getting involved with. I think you're cool.
Hey, thanks for having us on, Dave. It's been a pleasure, and I don't know. I think this needs to happen more often. There's a hole in the corporate media wall where some relevant information seeps through, you know?
Well, occasionally some information seeps through on Roth Radio. Guys, thanks for the visit.
Yeah, thanks for having
Yellow,
us.
Hello, babies. Give me some music. Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark.
David Lee Roth, umeme wa juu, Radio Roth. Club Dave, kuna nyesha tukikuambia kuna nyesha. David Lee Roth, High Speed Radio, Radio Roth. Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
Well, we're going to get into what Michael Jackson is wearing in a second here, but Lise, you brought it up about the critical mass. Snark, turn my voice up here. Wake up. You wanted to know what the critical mass people are wearing on the bicycles, right? And Homeboy had a really good call there. This is what you experienced at the last critical mass bicycle rally. Go ahead, jump on the air there. What did you see?
Yeah, right. The critical mass, they got this thing at the rally I went to. It's the aliens versus, I'm sorry, not the aliens, the monsters versus the robots.
And what was that? This was during the bike rally?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Basically, it's kind of like this. It's all out of fun. It's like the civil war amongst the bike riders, and half of them dress up as robots. You know, they look like the Tin Man. They got, you know, they're completely covered in aluminum foil. They have these helmets on. These are the guys riding like the 6-foot-tall bikes. And then the other half of the riders, they're dressed up as monsters. They got like these tails coming out, these things on their helmets, and they're pretty freaky looking.
This sounds great.
It's such a cool experience.
When did you do this last?
Back in August. I just was out riding my bike with two guys, and we randomly caught up with them.
What would you wear, Lise, if you went to this?
Oh, see, I was picturing more the multicolored butt-hugging, you know, tight little leotard things those little men
wear. Yeah, but you're
a
slut.
Yeah, but wait a minute. I think I'm going to bring my stationary bike to Critical Mass tomorrow. What do you think?
And what? Ride it around in the back? Have animal paddle you around in a pedicab,
no.
And you put it in the back? It'd be like performance art.
I can go nowhere faster than anybody you know.
Okay. No, you can't. There are certain members of Congress who'll give you a run for your money. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, I just want to say one thing. I was actually really fortunate on the rally I went to. I saw both the riders stopping traffic and being unsafe, as well as the cops abusing their power.
Okay.
And everyone's saying how the bikers shouldn't be on the road or that the law should be relaxed. You know what, if you take a couple cop cars and you make this into somewhat of an organized event where they're not, I mean, we stop traffic in the middle of Times Square on a Friday night. That's a big thing.
Certainly.
You know, but if you put a little organization, a little thought into it, you don't have anyone getting hurt. You don't have, you know, emergency vehicles not being able to get through in the traffic. A little organization can make this thing really safe and enjoyable for the cars on the road, the bikers, and everyone's safe. Everyone's having a good time.
I agree with you. Put a little structure to it. And New York City, of all cities, is the greatest city on earth, all right? Of all cities, this is where we should be able to put something like this together because there's so many thousands of people. And it's not an alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative community. It's something that virtually has gone on in everybody's family, even as we speak.
Well, what's one of the first triumphs as a kid? Learning how to ride a two-wheeler bike.
Today, it's learning how to operate an Xbox, Lease, but nice try. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We're going to jump around a little. What if I wore a burka? I said that earlier. What if I wore a burka to the bike rally and the cops showed up? Would I be less likely to get signed up at the 6th Precinct, or would I be more likely to get signed up at the 6th Precinct? And be very careful before you answer this question, okay? Anyways, Michael Jackson, spotted in women's clothes at a mall in Bahrain. Manama, Bahrain. Pop star Michael Jackson took a shopping trip to a Bahrain mall Wednesday, covering himself in a black robe traditionally worn by Bahraini women and a veil hiding his face. Why am I not surprised? On the way out through the back door, he shook hands with security guards. Yeah, he was wearing an abaya, a robe with long sleeves, under which, well, nobody's sure. And he had men's shoes could be seen, but there was nobody in them. And his head and face were, I threw that in, his head and face were wrapped in a black veil, finally. He had black gloves on his hands, both. What do you think's going on with Michael Jackson? Is this showbiz, or is he finally gone past the tipping point? What do you think, Liz?
I don't see anything different. He's always going out in odd, you know, costumes to hide his identity, from the surgical masks to, what's the difference? What's the big whoop?
It's like designer tattoos. He can't change his life, so he's going to change himself. What does the burqa mean to him? Is he just doing this for showbiz, so 10,000 miles away we're talking about it? What's going on with this?
Oh, you know, it's Michael Jackson, for goodness sakes. This is not a difficult question.
You know, it's a very difficult question, because Michael Jackson's influence reigns supreme to this very day. Whether you like his music, whether you like his showbiz, and particularly if you're not a fan of his social life, okay, it becomes side of the point, because you put on BET or you put on MTV today, and his influence has been painted across every popular face out there, whether it's Usher or Kanye West or Animal. What do you think? Am I off the hook on this?
Oh, no. I think you're right on stuff, you know, because I guess he's just trying to hide his face and don't want a lot of attention, but I don't think it's a girly thing, but he could be girly, I don't know. But, you know, I like his music, but I'm not really, you know, really thrilled into it, but...
The reason that we still pay attention is because his influence is still being sold to us by all these modern folks out there. All the video that you see, most of what you see in terms of stage comportment and so forth, he started. At least you're shaking your head. You're saying no?
No, I was just marveling at how important wardrobe is in this segment, too.
It is, completely. Yeah. The feather, the bird of the birds of a feather, huh? Don't always flock together, but we certainly pay attention to this. If it wasn't for Michael, there'd be no Janet Jackson.
But I mean, what are you saying, David? I mean, his influence. Is this going to promote the burqa in a negative way, and it's upsetting you?
No. What I'm saying is, why are we paying so much attention to Michael Jackson? And I think he's doing this for publicity, because he knows we're still paying attention.
Sure.
This is somebody who, by all social rights, is kind of retired to the side a little bit, okay? You know, absorb what happened with the music, etc., and let him go. Obviously, Michael has a few issues. He's got a few difficulties. But he's still on the cover of our magazines. He's still on the cover of our newspapers, because we all still like Michael Jackson. Yes or no?
Oh, don't make me say that. I mean,
go ahead and say it. You're on the radio.
But you know, like when I was, you know, into the rap thing, Easy said something that was really true. He said, "Long as they're talking about you, good or bad, it's still good publicity. You'd be worried when they stop talking about you, good or bad."
I wonder what's going to happen next with Mike. What's it next? Does he move to Vermont? Does he get over his issues? Does he ever come back to the United States? What do you think?
He seems to like where he is.
I think he's going to be living with me next.
You're going to tune him up, huh?
I'm going to straighten that boy out.
You're going to make him quit the Boy Scouts, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm straighten him out. Put him out there and put a ply behind him.
Okay, here we go. John from Long Island has a thought on this one. 866-313-3733. Are you a Michael Jackson fan, John? You're on.
Hell no.
Okay,
good. No matter what you do, you're going to take a leopard, a tiger, anything out of the jungle, he's still a tiger.
Okay, so you're saying he's not going to change his spots and that he's wrong from the inside out, correct?
He's a bad apple, no matter how you cut it.
Do you think we should stop listening to the records and take his stuff off the radio because of that?
Well, yes and no. His music is not making people go out and kill themselves and do things that are bad.
That's right. Judas Priest does that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you take just the way they publicize him, it just makes him want to go out and do more stuff. It makes him a lunatic.
I think he's a lunatic, and I think he's doing an excellent job of entertaining us from 10,000 metric miles away.
Do you think he knows he's entertaining us?
I think he totally knows he's entertaining us. I don't think for a second that he's so far gone that he just put on a burqa. You think Salvador Dali was actually eccentric, or was he making it up for listening and dancing pleasure? Go ahead, Lise. Is this a rough show for you, Lise?
No.
Go ahead.
do you think that you know that he covers his children, too, in public?
Okay.
And we assume that's for practical reasons, correct?
Correct.
Do you think he does that for himself as well? Is his all attention grabbing?
I think he's probably acting out his childhood, and there's a transference issue where he was forced to hide his emotions and his face literally from his dad. He had a bad dad, etc. And now he's creating the exact same thing. The sins of the father will show up on the paint job of the kids. That's an old saying I just made up. Rudy from Brooklyn, why do you think he's staying there? Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I'm David Lee Roth. My sister Lisa Roth is here. Our concerned staff of professionals are standing by to service most of your needs. Rudy, what's up?
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Excellent. Thanks.
Well, first of all, I just have a little bit of an interesting take on it. I grew up right next to Bahrain.
Oh, go ahead.
A small country called Qatar, which is a little peninsula off of Saudi Arabia.
We know exactly where that is. We have a friend who works over there. Go ahead.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, I was over there since 1989, so I grew up with them. You know, I'm only 23, so I know them in and out. And I think the reason why Michael Jackson is in Bahrain, because over there it's not so much frowned upon man-on-man action, especially man-boy action, exactly, because, you know, they're not allowed to see with the women most of the time. And a lot of the men of the switch hitters like to dress up in burkas and whatnot.
Okay, so you're saying...
So he's dressing for attention. But not the kind we're talking
about. They put on, you know, female cologne and whatnot, and, you know, they kind of keep it hidden in the closet, but it's a good 80% of the country.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this is like me going to Thailand and telling everybody I'm going to fish.
yeah, something like that.
Sounds like Mike just jumped right out of the frying pan into the furnace, huh? That's what you're saying, that he's now signed up for where his favorite flavor of the week is the most popular thing on the menu. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I went to jail for a little while, and they thought because I was American I'd have problems, right?
Sure.
So they stuck me with like this little, I don't want to say switch hitter boy. I don't know what to offend anybody.
That was Tito.
But, he was obsessed with Michael Jackson and Britney Spears. I could not get him to shut the hell up. I wanted to beat the living daylights out of him.
This is the reality series that I wish we could have on the television, huh? And we should send Flava Flav back to educate Mike. Thanks for calling. Don't go away. We're getting dressed up during the commercial. Wait till you see us now, baby. Put that burka on, Lisa.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
In this corner, weighing in at 40 million records, he's bad, he's big, and he's in a burka. Michael Jackson, representing Bahrain, and in this corner, R. Kelly, recently just released from recess, weighing in at about as many records. I think we should have an ultimate fighting contest between Michael Jackson and R. Kelly. What do you think? And you know who should be the referee? Kanye West, dressed as Jesus. This is big. This is huge. Like Don Trump says, it's huge, Lise. It's huge. It's gonna be huge, Lise. And I'm going to be in trouble. I'll never be able to leave this building after this show. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Let's have the Palms send us up lunch here, because I'm not leaving. Sorry, Lise.
I think I should have a going away party tomorrow, and that they should cater it.
You think the Palms should cater your going away
yes.
party? Are you actually leaving us permanently?
And my... Well, as far as I know.
We're going to do everything we can to have you come back.
I hope so.
My sister, Lisa Roth, she knows that tireless self-promotion is the Roth way. And she said, well, what can we do? We started talking about, different things. We got some energy drink. We started talking about sunglasses. We got some sunglasses. Now she wants the Palm restaurant to bring us breakfast tomorrow.
Yes. And my favorite cut is ribeye.
Okay.
And I know this is sacrilegious. I like it done medium, a little more towards well than rare.
It looks like we're going to be talking about the benefits of red meat. What do you think? This could be an issue tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's too late in the day for that. We need more time.
Okay. Roth Radio, I'm David Lee Roth. That's my tirelessly self-promoting sister, Lisa Roth. Animal, are you going to share this breakfast if it shows up tomorrow?
Yes, sir. I like mine very, very done. And my favorite cut is the T-bone. So
I'm going to go with the ribeye, medium rare. Barbecue is not just for breakfast anymore, but that's where it starts, huh?
Yeah.
You guys, they're giving me finger signals.
Ribeye, medium rare.
Medium rare all the way around, you bet.
We're taking orders.
Do you think Michael Jackson eats meat? I don't think so.
I want to know if he wore his burqa open to the front or the back.
You slut.
Like a hospital gown?
That's right. That's the question that pops into your mind, huh?
What's his favorite cut of meat?
I'm telling you, I can't leave this building even now with what we've gotten this far.
14 years old.
Fingers on the dump button, guys.
Get out.
I don't think he likes it aged.
He doesn't like it aged. And the same thing for R. Kelly. We got a thing here. It says,
I love my R. Kelly.
It says, I think you should be talking about R. Kelly. I can't believe people are still buying his CDs. Does all of this stuff impact the way that we listen? Obviously, for some people, it does. How often do we hear Michael Jackson on the radio now? A lot or a little? I don't know. I hear it periodically. Do you hear it a lot?
Yeah. You know, as far as R. Kelly, I love that man's voice. He has a stunningly beautiful voice. And I do feel mildly guilty for loving his music.
Okay, so you don't listen to it. When it comes on the radio, you turn it off?
Absolutely not. I mean, I do listen to it. I do not turn off the radio.
But you feel some element of guilt there, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder if this actually impacts the music for everybody who's listening to this. What about Kanye West dressing as Jesus? Does that change the way that you listen to his music? Does that make the lyrics more important to you, or is this just showbiz?
Oh, you know, Kanye, he's a whole nother thing. I love his sense of entitlement. I love his confidence. I love his press. It's interesting because he's antagonistic.
And isn't he doing the exact same thing that Michael Jackson is doing? You put on something that has a vaguely religious reference to it, a vaguely political reference to it, and that's going to get you the attention for your music. Agreed or disagree?
Yeah, probably.
You think he actually has a Jesus complex?
Oh, no.
Oh, no? Come on. I saw the documentary on him, and his mother is, I think she's a school teacher or whatever, and she raised him as, you know, the special pride of the family.
I think Bono has the Jesus complex.
You think so?
Yeah. I think Kanye has the I want to be famous complex.
And you think Bono wants to save the world?
Absolutely.
Because I just want to save 40 or 50 markets. I'm not trying to save the world here. You like the way Bono dresses? Because that's every bit as theatrical as what Kanye or the burqa on Mike or whatever. That's as carefully applied as anything else. Even though the look is a studied look, it takes you six times as long to pick out the perfect dirty t-shirt and the perfect dirty jeans than it does to put on a tuxedo. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree. He has a look. I like it.
And is it a studied look, or did it just sort of miracle itself into place?
Probably a little of both.
You know how much those sunglasses cost? Those are Gucci sunglasses.
Yeah, but he has a sense of style, or someone around him does, who's getting paid very well.
I think he has his own sense of style. Because you can always tell when there is a stylist involved. You end up looking like an MTV VJ from the 80s. Like you shopped at all the best stores and bought the stuff that was in the window.
And the hair has a little too much goop in it. A little too styled.
Yep. And it looks
one too many spikes.
Exactly. And you get like the striped scarf that the guy in Rent wore, and then it showed up in the Gap window, and now you have that. You have little things that come from certain movies.
Or you know what I love? When the tail of the shirt is halfway, like one side up the buttons is out and the other side is tucked in.
What we used to call that, I'll be out in a second! Maybe we'll start trailing toilet paper out of one shoe. Do you remember when we would roll our pants up to our knee to show like we rode a bicycle or something like that? And then you just left it around your knee for the remainder of the day? Maybe we should just like you said, you have that element where you your shirt. Oh, you know what would be better?
I know.
Is if you have your shirt come out of your fly.
Right.
And you zipped it up because the look is like you're too hip, gotta go. It's like this. Yell my name.
Dave.
I'll be out in a second. Damn, I hurried. What's next? And then your shirt looks like that. right?
Good idea.
And you keep your pants real low. You got your boxer shorts pulled up like it's state issue because they took your belt away because you might hang yourself, right?
Right.
And you leave your tennis shoes open because they took your tennis shoes laces away for the same reason. This is a studied appearance that's supposed to look like it just sort of fell on top
of you.
What
about your style? And answer seriously. What about your style?
My style is outdoor winter urban camouflage is what I call it.
Is it studied?
Very much so, because it's a part of learning to look like the buildings. The true revolutionary walks unnoticed amongst the people.
So you have a vision every morning when you wake up, what you want to look like.
Well, I know what I want to look like because I travel through the streets on a bicycle or on foot with impunity here. And most people in my position do the exact opposite. Most people in my position consider the great outdoors to be the distance from their apartment door to the limousine. And that's all the time they spend in the great outdoors. I actually spend most of my day and my evenings out on in the sidewalks or, you know, traveling on my bike or whatever.
But you care about what you're wearing.
Certainly. But it's for a functional point of view. For me, this is more like urban camping, all right? Because I'm built to be able to walk home from here, which I may actually do today, whether it's snowing or whether it's raining. So I do all of my high couture shopping at sports stores. How about you? great syllable. Got me through the 80s. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Megan, talk to me about nobody cares about his music. Who are you pointing at, Megan? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was just thinking that, you know what? Nobody pays attention to him musically the way that they used to.
Are you pointing at R. Kelly or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
That he's not consistently going on tour. He's not coming out with new albums all the time like he used to. He's not coming out with new videos. And like he said himself, that any publicity is good, whether what they're saying is bad or good about you. And this is his way of staying in the game of getting attention.
Okay, I think he's doing a great job of getting attention, and he's done a lousy job. He's done a lousy job on his career. You know who's done a great job on taking bad publicity and making it a growth empire is Paris Hilton. She's nothing but a series of bad publicity moves or negative press or whatever. And she's like she's one of the royalty of the United States now to a lot of generations. Agreed or disagreed?
Absolutely agree. When her sex tape came out and it happened to coincide with the beginning of her Simple Life season, that promoted that show because that's how everybody knew who she was. She was the girl with the sex tape.
I think what happens is these people become a guilty pleasure, and we keep waiting for the crash, like at a NASCAR race. We're not waiting to see the winner. I'm wondering, though, if this doesn't increase the heat for the music. As soon as you find out all of this nonsense that's going on in these people's backgrounds, don't you just go right to the chorus and see if you can get a clue?
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for calling Roth Radio. We're going to be here tomorrow. If you had a lousy time, tell a friend. If you had a great time, tell a friend, because we're here tomorrow. At least you're going to do one more day?
I am. I got to come for the steak.
You think the Palm is actually listening? They called up earlier. Get one of the producers on the case here. And I want to thank Randy Couture, because when Michael Jackson goes for a UFC fight with R. Kelly, and we have Kanye West dressed as Jesus being the referee. Sorry?
I just have to draw your attention to one thing.
Please.
Couture.
Randy Couture.
Has to do with wardrobe.
Bingo. Well, I'd give my shirt off my back if you would be here tomorrow. You see how I dovetailed that, Liz?
I did. Yours wasn't as good as mine.
Yeah, well, we have another day to compete. Anyways, Randy Couture, he's on pay-per-view February 4th, and you can see him on Spike TV Weekly or anybody who's going to try and take a challenge with him. And we spoke to the Critical Mass folks, the bicycle rally that I think is taking place tomorrow night. And you can find them at freewheels.org, or you can catch up on the info for their DVD, Still We Ride, themovie.com. I don't know, should I go to Critical Mass tomorrow? It won't be the first time I sign autographs at the 6th Precinct if I get busted.
I want to hear about that story.
Which, getting busted and going and signing autographs at
the 6th
Precinct?
Actually, I was in the city when that happened, sitting with my employer when it came on the television.
Tune in tomorrow. Lies, rumors, innuendo, all designed by my antagonists to destroy my good name and my burgeoning reputation here in radio, Roth Radio. We talked from New York to Philly. We spoke about Dallas. We listened to Boston. Hello, Cleveland. Pittsburgh, congratulations. West Palm Beach, worldwide, DavidLeeRoth.com. I'm David Lee. Lise, have yourself a wonderful day. All of you out there who loves you, say it. Say it. Say it. No!
David Lee Roth in the mornings.